Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I'm so glad you're here today because we have an incredible guest with us, Emily Leahy. Emily is a serial entrepreneur with over 13 years of experience as a founder in wellness and tech. She has studied the art of shifting focus states for 15 years to find edge without burnout. Emily lived in San Francisco for 6 years, coaching founders, CEOs, and startups for business growth and personal transformation, utilizing holistic tools for high performance. She has received formal training in meditation, NLP, clinical hypnosis, and more. She continues to work with entrepreneurs specializing in mental energy management and developing capacity for next level business growth. And thank you so much for being here today, Emily. It is such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to just dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we'll go a little bit deeper.
It's great to be here with you. And I never know where to start. There's many things that I could talk about in terms of my journey with entrepreneurship. And there's been so many transitions going back to even when I was a child. I loved the idea of finding out what my purpose was and knowing what I was good at and how I could add value and help others in exchange for money. So I was a babysitter and had a little agency when I was younger. And that moved into being a school teacher when I was had graduated college. But I had also created a business called Be Happy, Be Well, which was helping children with their performance. And so at a very early age, I would say I had a lot of energy and excitement around what I was doing. And that's really all I've ever known. Was having passion and being able to do what I loved and, you know, just throw myself into things. But the problem was I thought I would just arrive and figure it out. So there was always this tension between, you know, understanding entrepreneurship as this arriving when actually it's just this constant transition. And I went from being a school teacher and having this nonprofit helping children to then going into the wellness industry, teaching yoga to adults, offering a variety of tools, and that it started to turn into actually helping other entrepreneurs. So about 10 years ago, I was funded by an investor and I had my own wellness studio, and it was a 2000 square foot studio that I built out. I had an amazing team. I had an amazing advisor who was actually the editor of Yoga Journal, and I had no idea that, you know, I would be retiring from being a school teacher to going into my own business at such a young age. Unfortunately, I figured out the hard way that brick and mortar was not for me, and I felt really trapped. And it was a really important lesson, I think, early on, this just in the beginning of my entrepreneurship journey, was that if something doesn't feel like a fit, if something feels like this is not where I want to be in the next 5 years and where I want to be pouring time, energy, money into, that it's okay to transition into something different. But it wasn't easy, right? It wasn't easy to come to this realization that the biggest thing that I ever wanted, you know, prior to being a school teacher, the thing that I thought, okay, when I retired, this is the thing I'm going to do, was something that I didn't want anymore. And so I had to go through a big growth period of what am I doing now? Because it felt really blank. Yeah. And so I actually took time off. I was pretty burnt out. I was working, you know, 15 hour days or more because I was teaching 20 yoga classes a week. I was doing the marketing. I was handling the whole team staff. I was constantly creating new programs. So there was so much I was doing. I was wearing so many hats. And having to show up every single day was a lot. So I knew that I didn't want to be having to do everything anymore, and that I wanted to start focusing on, okay, what am I really good at? And how can I create and add value to other people's lives? And I thought, you know, I don't have to be creating this big thing anymore. I can actually start to help people. I had a lot of entrepreneurs coming in. Maybe it was just to help other entrepreneurs. So eventually I figured out I was supposed to go to the West Coast. I started helping entrepreneurs out there, startup founders, people transitioning out of big tech. And also people who are trying to figure out what their purpose was as well. And they were in this strange, you know, phase. And yeah, usually like creating some side hustles, maybe they had a small business. So it was a mix of founders, CEOs, entrepreneurs that I was starting to help with a lot of these wellness tools, the tools that actually helped me get clear and helped me walk away. Because I think you're closest to living when you're closest to dying and when you're letting go of this like aspect of yourself. So you can be in both this like joy and sorrow at the same time when you're in this transitional state, and you can be in the most like clarity because you're actually letting go of the holding and the clinging. So to be able to support people through that process was really fulfilling. And around COVID, you know, that started to transition to something else. We actually met on Clubhouse. Yeah. And I loved public speaking. It was something that I was also doing. In the meantime, you know, I was always looking and creating and building new programs and seeing what was out there. But mostly I was on the sidelines of helping other startup founders. And some people were in tech, again, some people weren't. But when I got on Clubhouse, that's actually when I just found myself actually in these startup rooms. And I was being pulled on stage, and then I was being asked to, can you create some rooms for wellness in startups? And we were also doing a lot of work around burnout because so many people were struggling with that. And so it was a really fascinating time because I had been talking about burnout for so many years and living in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Originally, you know, from Boston, I was in the Boston public schools and I was burning out when I was a teacher. So I knew that. And I also was burning out when I had my wellness center. But to see people go through a burnout because of the lack of connection, because they're isolated, because work and different responsibilities and uncertainties were just putting so much pressure on people, they needed somewhere to go. And so to create that environment for people online was a really fascinating time. We had, you know, sometimes there were thousands of people in a room, and there was so much growth and so much learning to really be able to listen to people and to give back in a generous way. So that was a really profound time in my life. And I was connecting with other investors, and I started to feel like I was this middleman between startup founders and investors, when really I was on the sidelines before and mostly just working with startup founders, entrepreneurs. So I started to learn like, okay, maybe my life is taking a turn in a way that I don't know. Maybe this is something that I'm not in control of. So I really started to surrender on a deeper level. And what ended up happening was, you know, Clubhouse started to fade, and we kind of all knew that it wasn't going to be sustainable. And so I knew Twitter just intuitively was going to be on the rise. So I took all of those skills and actually put it into Twitter and realized there's a lot of startup founders, there's a lot of entrepreneurs on Twitter. And they were really needing help. And so I started tweeting and sharing insights there. And that's when I went in and became a co-founder of a tech company. And it was a wild ride because, again, I was always on the sidelines. Then I was in the ecosystem. And then I was actually behind the scenes of a growing tech company. My co-founder was in London. We had met on Twitter. And during this time, I had just moved to Portugal. And mm-hmm. I was like fresh, 2 weeks in, living in Portugal, now a co-founder of this tech company. And my life had just evolved into something completely different than if you looked back on like, how did I become a school teacher working with kids and then become a co-founder of a tech company? You know, it really was about letting go. It really was about allowing myself to transform and evolve and not stay so glued. Mm-hmm. And I decided actually to step back again, because I realized, hey, this isn't me feeling the most fully expressed. I don't feel that this is truly my purpose because the company shifted and pivoted. And so it was my journey of just understanding like, okay, things are constantly in flux. Things are constantly changing. And this experience though is going to propel me into the next journey and adventure. And I have to trust that I said yes, and I felt that it was a yes, and now it's a no. And so I think in entrepreneurship, we have to understand that we have different layers and levels of purpose. We have different layers and levels of where we need to be at a certain time. And if we can let go of trying to figure it out and mm-hmm. trying to understand the why always and understand the meaning of everything in the moment and be in the process of it. It was a really powerful lesson for me. So now, full circle, I've come back to helping entrepreneurs and supporting mm-hmm. them and coaching and creating curriculum around that in terms of holistic high performance and finding edge without burnout. Because when I look back, I've both been in the aggressive self-bully phase of I got to push really hard to get this done. And I've also been in the hiding phase. I've also been in this place where I was in this slow productivity thinking, oh, well, now that I'm kinder and nicer to myself, this is the way to build. But I was actually slowing down my own progression, my own traction, and not truly finding that edge where I'm a little bit uncomfortable. So that's really how I tie everything together now. And being in this place of you can definitely exert your willpower and that's necessary, but letting go of control was definitely part of this journey as well of maybe there's something I don't know. And I don't know what I don't know. And where will I end up if I say yes to certain opportunities that feel like it's something I want to explore in that moment?
I love it. What a journey. And it's just, there's so many pivots and turns and twists and transitions from where you started babysitting to now really going back full circle to helping and coaching entrepreneurs and startups. And I love what you've been able to accomplish. But I think the biggest thing too, that I keep hearing in a lot of individuals that I work with and talk to entrepreneur-wise, a lot of it has to do around this, like, well, I have to push through, I have to do this. And when we let go and just allow things to happen, like we're still working towards it, but when we allow and surrender, so many more opportunities come into play. And I was just listening to a podcast about this. I just had a conversation about it. So I feel like the timing's just so on par, but I think too, it's when we do let go, we don't know what we don't know. So we allow opportunities that we can't even think of, but they present themselves. And what you've experienced too, there's been so many transitions. And I know you helped so many people in that phase of transition. What has that been like for you of just your own experiences, but now helping others in that transition period?
Yeah, I mean, I think transitions can be very difficult and stressful. And we could miss the opportunity within the transition to choose something that's safe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the test is like, it's in that transitional phase. Are we going to go to a new level or are we going to just stay glued? It's going to look different. It's going to seem like you're making a different choice. But when you get to the end of that lesson, you're going to realize you learned the same one.
Kind
of disappointing, right? It's like, yeah. I just chose the same thing. Yes. I'm not truly up-leveling. And I think when you aren't growing, that's when you suffer the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, we want to think that like when you're an entrepreneur, you win all the time. And so when we're not winning, we can compare ourselves to other people. But I would say we're usually uncomfortable most of the time. We win sometimes. And so if we can really be in the truth and the reality of like what's going on behind the scenes, because what is presented, like the glamorous side of entrepreneurship is that you're killing it all the time. But there's so much sacrifice and there's so much that you need to give up depending on the lifestyle you're creating for yourself, depending on what you're building and if, and how you're building and where you're building from. So the transition, I think, really allows the opportunity to refine based on where you're at now and knowing that you can always change. And I think when we're not willing to change ourselves, things will start to fall apart to redirect us. I truly believe that because there's so many things that have landed on my lap where I'm like, yeah, this was made for me, go after it. And it doesn't work out. And I'm like, okay, I tried my best and I really like put time and effort into this. Yeah. So if this isn't where I'm supposed to be right now, where can I redirect my energy towards? And it doesn't mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater. It doesn't mean we have to completely shift everything that we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's like, what do I need to strip and let go of? And those are the questions that I ask myself of like, what needs to stay and what needs to go? What am I in control of? What am I not in control of?
Yeah.
And sometimes it is like a big pivot for people and they really have to let go of a lot of things that they thought were important. But it's that reflection period of being in the not knowing that is so difficult. Because if you're a builder, you're an entrepreneur, you are constantly doing, right? But I think the transition is like, how are you being? Because if you don't focus on how you're being, then you'll always be stuck in this loop of doing the same thing, that inertia. It's like that hamster wheel. And again, that's, I think, where a lot of people's suffering comes from, is like, nobody wants to feel like their inertia. They want to break through. They want to go to a new level. And, you know, the death or the dying and the letting go is something that we're not good at. We're not good at letting go. I mean, and especially America, I'm like, oh yeah, people do not want to let go. They like to hold on. And I can see myself in that, but I can also see how much I've grown and how much I have been able to surrender.
And that's an important piece too, because I think like what you touched on of the glamour of being an entrepreneur, because you'll see all these like Instagram posts or TikToks of just like chilling by the pool, drinking a cocktail. And like, that's not the reality. There is so much sacrifice on the back end that people don't see. Some people will show a little like reel or whatnot of like the back behind the scenes, but the reality is there's so much that you do have to give up, or saying no to like really fun experiences because you have to like get something done. That's, there's a deadline for a client or for a speaking engagement or something, anything. But I think the realization too, it is challenging. It is uncomfortable. That piece that you mentioned, a lot of times you're in that uncomfortable zone versus like, oh yeah, everything's great, I won. But no, I mean, a lot of times people are like, oh, you have it all together. It's like, no, there's a million things going on behind the scenes and I don't have time to film it and to show that as well. And I think sometimes it's the reality understanding too, if you want something, it's going to take work, just like anything. It doesn't happen overnight. It does take time and it's a process. But it's okay to pivot. It's okay to let go of something that's no longer serving you. Because like you mentioned too, it serves you for that moment and that purpose and being more present and absorbing that energy from, okay, I learned this lesson. Oh, I learned it again. I don't want to learn this again. I'm done with this. Understanding too, the fact that ultimately each place and each thing is serving its purpose in that moment. And it might not be forever. Like I thought I was going to be a therapist forever when I went to school and that did not happen. I really shifted. I'm now in solar. Like I would have never thought that, and just all the transitions you've had. But I think people listening to understanding that it's okay to transition. It's okay to pivot because it's not set in stone. Nothing is set in stone. Life is unpredictable. We can make it predictable in some capacities, but in the reality, it does shift so much. And that's just part of being able to sustain and grow a business too. You have to take those steps. And I'm curious, because I know you're in a competitive market, but how have you been able to sustain and grow your business?
Yeah, that's a good question. So especially because I was doing a lot of coaching work here in the US and then I moved abroad, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was also right after the pandemic and COVID. And Clubhouse and Twitter actually did help my business. So being online allowed me to definitely find clients in a different way. But I also realized that the way that I do best with my business is networking in person. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that I just had to learn about myself, was that, you know, being in the US and being able to go to events and speaking and all these things were actually better for my business. And most of the people that I was going to work with are in the US, in terms of people who are trying to find their edge. The culture fit really of who I work with, it's going to be more Americans is what I discovered. People who are moving to Europe, they're in a different season, they're a different phase of their life. So when I went to Portugal, after things opened up, you know, I was working with clients one-on-one, I was running retreats there and it was great, but it was right after I accepted that position to be a co-founder of a tech company. So there was a lot of opportunity and there was a lot of work and I had to take a step back from my coaching, which I loved, to put more energy and effort into seeing this tech company grow. And then I realized, you know, this isn't really where I see myself. You know, I'm at a certain phase as a woman, you know, I want to open myself up to different aspects of what's going to fulfill me, whether that's motherhood, et cetera. And so I had to look at where am I at in life right now? And also, where do I see all of these different things that I love to do and the resources that I have and the gifts that I have to serve others? So it was actually a time of rebirth and reconstructing this, and also putting together my high performance architecture and different aspects of what I'm doing in a more organized way when I left the startup. So it was an interesting time because I needed to go inwards, even though I wanted to be outwards. And now coming back to the US, I'm glad that I just knew, like, just let everything settle. So you have the energy and the time and the bandwidth to really be more outward facing and network and connect with others when you come back. So I think it was a test for me to learn how to navigate managing my own mental energy, mm-hmm. how to navigate introversion, extroversion, how to navigate, you know, where I need to be putting my time and energy and resources. And I decided that was going to be through self-reflection and getting clear about the work I truly want to be doing. And so pulling back to push forward, I think, is more so the phase that I've been in the past, like 6 months, maybe even a year by leaving the startup. I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs face, especially in the tech world. You know, they build something, they sell it, and then there's this weird, awkward phase that they've gone through of like, okay, what do I do now? And so, you know, even if your business does do well, if you're used to building, you're used to creating, it's like, okay, you have these periods of time. You can maybe take a break. You can take a sabbatical. You can go more inwards. But it is that place of like, okay, and now what? And you can't rely on what you've done. Because if you are truly letting go, you're not attaching yourself to the old business. You're not attaching yourself to who you were. You're looking forward and saying, okay, where do I want to be? And mm-hmm. what does that person look like? What is it? Because you haven't really met them yet. You're not there yet. So how do you create that space for you to evolve? You know, that was something I've been doing in like a much bigger way. Long story short, in terms of growing my business, I think it is looking at both the immediate situation and then long-term, and how do I position myself to really show up authentically and show up where I'm at, and while also seeing like where I want to be. So I think that's a very interesting thing about business growth, is you both have to be very much in the moment of what's happening right now, while also zooming out to see the bigger picture. And that's really what has supported me in terms of growing my business in each phase.
I love that. And you're right. I think it is just taking time to really reflect and figure out what's best for you. And also that transition period of when you sell a business or end some form of fashion of what you had started, and maybe it didn't get to be sold. It was just flopped. I've had those situations, but being able to reflect on that. And I'm just curious, how do you prioritize and manage risk-taking while maintaining a stable foundation for your business?
I think that's a really great question. And I'm almost learning how to do that, honestly, of like, how do you take huge risks and create that stability at the same time? Because I think most of my life has been about flinging myself into things, right? Like,
yes,
in my youth, I would just, things would just work. And I would just totally fling myself into things. Now that I'm getting older and I'm looking to, you know, settle down more and, you know, really start to like put roots into an area and look at like different aspects of my life and not put everything into entrepreneurship, it's going to be a little bit different. I think I've always had this part of me that wanted to have a balanced life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's completely attainable, because I don't know if you can have everything you want at the same exact time. Mm-hmm. Right. I think you have to put a focus onto what it is that you're working on right now and what is possible. And some things will not be flourishing, but you can plant seeds and you can start to work on it. Right. But there might be like a main priority that you have in your life. So I think finding harmony where I'm 100% present is really like how I find stability. Because the outward stability is going to come from the inner stability. And I think the more that we chase this idea of safety and security through finances or through partners or through businesses, like these are all things that truly don't have a guarantee. And when I focus on how can I find so much presence in myself that I become the safety net, like I am the safety net. Mm-hmm. And if I have really good boundaries and I'm really clear about what I want and I'm able to say no, more stability comes because I'm not being pulled in all these different directions and I'm not losing sight of what I want. And so the more that I'm present, the more I can, in a way, start to build all these other things. But my focus has to be on like, what is it that's going to meet my needs right now? And if I'm focusing on my wants, I'm always going to be destabilized. So it's like, if I'm just going after, okay, this is what I want right now, and I'm not being clear and true to myself, I will always be in a destabilized place. So that's, you know, I think that's how we create the outer stability is really the inner stability of managing these things. And it takes so much honesty. Honestly, it stings sometimes. It's like, oh, I don't really want to be honest with myself about this thing that I know that I need because I want this thing that I want, but I need to come back to the thing that I need so that I can be in generally taking care of myself day to day and then have the energy and the bandwidth to be able to hold and have the capacity to experience more of that. And it's not about denying pleasure and it's not about escaping suffering, but it's finding like what is going to be best for me in that moment so I can be present.
Yeah, no, so well said. And I think too, a lot of people, at least in my experience and the people I've spoken to and personally have been, there's this element of you don't want to give up something because you're like, well, I've worked so hard for this. It's getting honest with yourself and you're not giving up. You're just shifting and seeing it in a different way of what makes sense right now and the vehicles we need to get to that next spot too, because you can't go from A to Z unless you have a flying car or something, or, you know, or a helicopter. It's being realistic too and have huge dreams and have an extraordinary life. I just watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and she talks about having this extraordinary life. And I think that's entrepreneurship. It's also all the steps she took to get to where she was. And I think that's in life too. We have to realize it's not going to be put in a pretty little box with a bow on it. It's going to be messy. It's going to be really tough, but it's going to be so rewarding and worth it. But realizing too, when we stop something or shift gears, it's not because we couldn't make it. It's just because there's something better on the other side. And being able, you said it earlier too, taking those same skill sets and applying it to something new. And you can still do that. That's not going away. It's just part of you. And it's a part of that journey. And I think it's so beautiful what you've been able to create and being really honest and transparent here too, of that stability is important. It starts from within and moves from into the outside world as well. But how we go about it can be so different. There's no right or wrong way. And that's the whole beauty of this show too. It's showing that there is a designing it the way that makes sense for you, because it's not a quick fix. It's not a one size fits all. It's really what makes sense and resonates with you in that moment, because everyone can have an opinion or say things too about the situation. No one really knows internally what's going on. Even family or friends or people that you love that are in your life, ultimately, you know what's going on inside, or you're still figuring it out. I mean, I'm still figuring it out. I have a long way to go. I think it's, we're always evolving, and that's the point too. And just even coming from that holistic point of view, because I know that's a big part of what you do and the tools you use. What holistic tools or approaches do you utilize to ensure a healthy work-life integration and overall well-being as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love everything you just shared. It was like, pop, pop, pop. Wisdom was wisdom. Loved it. And I just want to add to like, the more that we cling to things, as cliche as it is, the more we will suffer. And so, you know, there is really no stability on the outside. And the more you try to identify with your business, identify even aspects of your personality that you think are important, and you hold on to it thinking, oh, I'm going to bring this into the next thing I'm creating, you know, this is what I'm good at, right, we lose, because we don't get to explore these other aspects of who we are that have just been hidden. And so going into the tools that I think are most helpful for that is, you know, understanding the performance equation, which is really what performance equals potential minus interference. And so much of what we're coming up against as entrepreneurs is we're the block, we're the one in the way, we're the ones that are creating the resistance to whatever it is that's on the other side. And we think we know what's on the other side, but because we get so stuck in our minds, and a lot of entrepreneurs are overthinkers, which means you want to be in control. You have a hard time letting go. You have perfectionism, you know, and you're always like overanalyzing conversations. You're overthinking things before you take action. You know, even though entrepreneurs, we think we're always in action, like a lot of us can stay in the planning phase. We can have ideas for a long time, or you can be impulsive and take action too quickly, but then have a lot of regret. And then you're in the overthinking, which makes it hard to create consistency to keep taking action on that thing, right?
Yeah.
And I can say this and laugh about it because I am an overthinker, and I've had to do a lot of work on myself over the years. And I would say my spiritual practice has been a huge part of that, like learning to meditate, and meditate not in just the stereotypical way of sitting and closing your eyes and watching your thoughts. That's more mindfulness. But I would say meditating in terms of having this deep experience of knowing myself beyond my body, beyond just like the construct of the outside world, and really being able to go inside and be in the space where I'm able to tap into different states of awareness without drugs, without, you know, anything else, but really hypnotic tools that allowed me to go into what would be like a dream state. And we go into theta state every night if you have deep sleep. But hypnosis and different hypnotic meditations allow someone to go into this unconscious, unseen aspect of themselves and bring things up to the surface in a way that's not as triggering as maybe just an experience that's trying to push something to the surface, because life is challenging you. So these things come up, but when you're in meditation, your nervous system is more relaxed, and then these things are coming up and you can integrate it more differently into your life. And so it's easier to let go because then the mind isn't as in control. So if you're an overthinker, and you believe that, okay, I'm going to make all these changes, but your mind is moving so fast, there's no space between the thoughts, you will never actually integrate the changes because your whole body, your way of being, hasn't actually integrated with your way of thinking. And so we will always feel disconnected. You will always feel pulled in so many directions, and you won't really be able to fully let go or have that, you know, what I called before is like this part of you needs to die so you can be closer to living and you can be closer to what it is that you're really supposed to do. And it's painful and it's hard, but it also, the more you start using these tools, it gets easier because you get into a new rhythm and a new way of where you're pulling your power from. So when you're in that hyper aggressive state of using adrenaline, you will always leave yourself behind, and you, because you're in this interference, you're always in the mind. When you're moving from a place of pure power and you're able to have, like, if you imagine a snow globe that you shake up, it's like all these particles everywhere and you're feeling chaotic, but eventually if you sit long enough, it settles. And if you stay long enough, you get to explore these different corners of your mind and different thoughts, and that's where a lot of creativity will be. So I think it's so fascinating how, you know, I've been able to accelerate this process of creating and releasing because I've had this tool, and it's like an anchor for me. And it is a relationship. Like, you have to work on your relationship with yourself. And I don't think it's enough to just go running or just take an hour to get a massage or to sit in the bathtub for an hour. I think it's about learning how do you interact with your mind, and how can you quiet your mind more so you can actually know who you are and know how to then take the right action. So we talked about risk taking. And I think if you really want to mitigate risk, you learn how to create space between your thoughts, and maybe even learn how to let go into this deeper place. And so I think hypnotherapy is something we don't talk enough about, and like how it can impact someone's business. But there's just so many belief systems that we can't just process through listening to podcasts or watching YouTube videos or even talking it out with a coach. I think there's certain things that we need to go deeper with So there isn't that emotional hold on someone anymore. And when they're tested and something comes up in their life, they actually have the space to make a change. And that's the only way to actually move forward and up level is really to have the space to see in that moment, not be emotionally triggered, and then take a new stab at your business or a new stab at like how to communicate with the your co-founder, or it could be a client, or it could be, you know, saying yes to an opportunity that just made you freeze and shut down. You know, there's nothing that's going to come and save you. It really is going to be these moments of connection with yourself. But it's, I think it's about going deeper. And I think people have a lot of tools that like work on the surface, but I think if you can go to that next phase of having these moments with yourself, it's a huge game changer.
Yeah, no, you said so much there. And I think the biggest part of that is a lot of times we look at that surface level stuff of like, okay, well, I listened to a podcast today. I got a massage. I went on a walk. Like those are all wonderful things, but you're right. It's taking it to a deeper level because we're with our thoughts 24/7. And I am very similar to you in that regard. And I'm sure people listening of my thoughts go rampant sometimes. And I have to like take a moment and have like that downtime and be with myself and comfortable with myself too, and allowing those thoughts to settle. And I love how you utilize the example of the snow globe, because I just like pictured that and like having that time to let it settle in that moment too, where you can collect your thoughts. And that's where creativity happens, because I know we have talked about this in the past a lot about burnout and just how we're always running and always trying to get to that next level, but that can hinder our growth in a way and create blind spots of what we're not even seeing or allowing the creativity to flow in, because there's just so many things going on and you're being pulled in so many directions and the hustle culture and all this stuff with entrepreneurs in general. But I'm curious, can you share any strategies or practices that you've implemented to overcome common blind spots or challenges that are faced by entrepreneurs in the industry now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in terms of blind spots, you know, and we're talking about going deep, but it's also about meeting someone where they're at. And so, because there's a wide range of people who are listening right now, everyone's going to be at a different stage of like what their blind spot is. But I will say for sure, you will always have a blind spot. Doesn't matter how much work you've done on yourself. Like there will always be things that you need to catch. And I would say if you can start to look at different parts of your business, of your life, what am I in control of? What am I not in control of? I think that's a really, it's simple, right? But it's a really important strategy to start with, because if you are someone who is an active thinker and you're constantly strategizing in your mind and you want to know what those things are, you might be spending too much time on the things that you actually don't even have control over. And that is usually the biggest blind spot for most people. And not taking time could be something that you do daily, and you just take out a journal today. What am I in control of? What am I not in control of? Because the things that you're in control of, then you can ask deeper questions. And I think it's all about asking the right questions. That's how we uncover the blind spots, but we have to also be willing to know the answer to them. Mm. We can't ask questions and then just give the same answer every day. We have to be willing to hear the new answer based on our new level of awareness. And because we will always have experiences every day, entrepreneurship is the fastest way to know yourself. I truly believe it, right? Because every day you're going to be learning something new. You get to talk to people, interact with people, you're building things, you're seeing how frustrated you can get, you're seeing how excited you can get, you know, the dopamine spikes of when something is going well and the crash when things are not. But it's important, I think, every day to look at what am I in control of? What am I not in control of? And then also energy management wise, what is energizing me right now? What is depleting me? Mm-hmm. And if you could do that every day for 30 days and just keep a log of that, I think you can start to really look at, you know, what you want to change. Because if you don't know even where you're at, then you really can't make any of those changes. And you have to also see like what's really going to bring you joy as a business owner. Yes, it's hard. And yes, there's a lot of sacrifice. But again, if you don't know where you're at and you're not asking those questions, you might be building something that in the end, as you know, your podcast is all about, you know, entrepreneurship and designing it and designing your life. You might be creating a prison for yourself. Mm. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people who, even though they have this outward success, they've created this prison. So I think it's important, yeah, to ask yourself those questions every day. And then the things that you can control, starting to see who can help me with this. How can I help myself? What are some things that I could start to implement in terms of habits? What are some things that I could start to do in terms of learning about it? And so the more you get to look at what you can control, the more action you can take. And that gets people out of when they're feeling frozen, because that in-between phase is when you usually can get lost in just like the overthinking and freezing.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And just even thinking of that too, because I feel like people do get stuck in those spaces and those thoughts as well, of just looking at, okay, what can I control, or keeping track of 30 days of where they're at and the energy too, because that can really show them the answers as well, and allowing them to sit down and creating that space, even if it's just 5 minutes sitting down and thinking about it, but giving them that time and space, because I know everyone's very productive and focused on not saying busy anymore. It's a common word, but I think too, it really goes back to understanding how we are showing up in the world, what we can do, what we have control over, because a lot of times we have control over nothing. It's really what we have control over is our thoughts, our actions, and our behaviors, and what we do with that. But we can't control the outside world. We can't control how somebody's going to interact with us, but focusing on what is in our control, because like what you said too, even the blind spots, we don't know what our blind spots are if we're not asking ourselves the hard questions, or even answering the hard questions too, but getting really deeper with those thoughts and experiences, that it can allow us to start moving forward and making changes. It doesn't happen all at once, but it can maneuver a little bit here and there. And that's what habits, and creating those habits. And I'm just curious, because I know a huge part of what you've been doing, but also helping people, is in that pivot zone of your genius. But can you share an example and a time when you had to pivot your business strategy and adapt to unexpected circumstances? And how did you navigate through that successfully?
That's a good question. I mean, I think COVID is a great example, because my business was so much in person. Yeah. And again, most of the ways that I had, you know, gotten clients and built that relationship was in person. And so a big pivot for me was letting go of what it needed to look like and being open to that opportunity. So going back to Clubhouse, it was just using that instinct and that intuition of like, oh, maybe I should try this out. Maybe I should go on this app. Even though it had no traction, really, it was super new. Like there was two or three people in the room at that point. Like yeah. There was nobody on there. And I think if you can make the right investments, even if something isn't trending yet, even if something isn't like where everybody is going, if you can be early by using your intuition, I think it really helps. And I think if you can pioneer based off of your own gifts, skills, strengths, and be willing to go first, It is a huge payoff. I think unfortunately too many people follow trends and they get lost in following the crowd, you know, and listening to everybody else and what you should do. But I think the most rogue people are the people that I look up to, because they followed their own blueprint. And so you have to really protect also who you ask for help, because that can be a slippery slope where you reach out to certain people and they say, oh, you should go in this direction. And you can start to invest a lot of emotion into someone else's opinions and viewpoints, and it can truly pull you away of your true north. So I think for me, it was, you know, taking that time to reflect, to go inward, but also being willing to take a risk and invest in things that weren't trending yet, and invest in, you know, different approaches. And that really connected me to a whole new network, but it also gave me new skills that I wouldn't have had. It was just, you know, what was presented to me at the time, and writing out that period of change of like, you know what, that wasn't really an opportunity that we really had. I think in person and doing speaking gigs and going to in-person networking was really like, was king. And I would say post-COVID, you know, now things are back to normal. I think it's coming back to that a little bit more and more hybrid, but still people are like, oh my gosh, we can meet in person. So it's writing out the reality of where the world is at and finding like where you can plug in. I think in the end of the day, that's what it's about.
Yes, I agree with that. And I love that you said too, just with how we go about things, like being ahead of the trend, being an early adopter into something and adapt to the situation. But I think it's like following what you said. I think you said your true North Star and being able to really resonate with that. And it might not be what everybody else expects of you or thinks you should do, or you'll get opinions from other people that are successful. And you, of course, take advice where it's needed and where you need it to help you grow. But at the same time, when things feel aligned, so many more opportunities start to open up. And I say this a lot because it's been happening for me and a lot of people I've spoken to. But when we follow our intuition, we follow what's aligned with us, things do start to unfold a little bit quicker or easy. It doesn't feel as hard, like you're going through the mud. That's like what I felt in a lot of situations because it wasn't the right time or the right space. I learned what I needed to learn the lesson, thankfully. I know I got more lessons on the way, but but being able to take that and apply it elsewhere. And I think that's the beautiful thing of entrepreneurship. There is no right or wrong way. And you can do something for a little bit of time. But I think sometimes people, and maybe I'm wrong, but I know this is my experience, but a lot of people might carry on this identity of their business and what that means to them. And like you kind of said it in a different way too, but we hold on to it so much because we're like, well, this is what it has to fit in this square. And that's the end. This is what's going to be. And I'm going to make so much money from this, or I'm going to help so many people from this. In the reality, it might not be the right fit. And it's so much harder when the emotions are attached to it, instead of letting go and surrendering. Okay, this isn't the right fit anymore. I learned what I needed to. I was able to help these people. I was able to make this amount of money. But at the end of the day, it's what feels right to you and going with that and trusting your intuition, because that is what's going to move mountains, in my opinion. But I think overall too, it's a lot of challenges that we do endure. And what have been some of the tools, like tactical tools that you've used in order to build your business when it comes to tech, software, all the whole nine yards?
Yeah. Well, I definitely geek out on tech. And to just kind of follow up with something that you just said, because I feel like everything you just shared was really powerful in terms of letting go of your identity around your business. And something I just want to share first is that, you know, it's always like a deeper fear of usually like what people think, fear of failure, fear of quitting, and how people might see that. And so there could be other fears, for like multiple fears even behind that. But I would just say, it's always good to ask yourself, who are you doing it for? Mm. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And just, again, the questions will always reveal certain aspects of like what's stopping you from making the change and making the pivot. And it's not an overnight thing because it can bring up so much. But when you start to tell yourself the truth of why you're doing something and starting to get to those deeper places, it allows you to free up for like, again, well, what would I want to do if I didn't care about other people's opinions of me? What would I do if I didn't care, if I had to step back and not know for a little bit? And so, yeah, I think that has helped me. And then in terms of like practical tactical software that's helped me, yeah, I love Airtable. It is something that I enjoy using. It's like glorified spreadsheets, but it has helped me create like priority lists. So every day when I wake up, or even before, usually the day before, I have like a list of things that are really important for me to do. And I only give myself like two urgents that I can put as like, you know, that's my fire drill. Like if I need to get that done, you know, if there is something to do that's urgent. And then I have like three priorities that I will allow. So there's three most important things that I'll do. And I make sure that I organize it all on Airtable. It's not, you know, on a scrap piece of paper, on sticky notes. Like it's nice to have it all in one place. And, you know, and then from there, there's important things and can do later. And so I use Airtable as a way to create a focus point for me. And then I also have quarterly goals that I keep there as well. And I make sure that those quarterly goals match my day-to-day. So I think that's really important. And then, you know, I think graphic design is so key. So I use, you know, I've used Canva, but I also dabble in Photoshop and Lightroom and all these different things to like edit my photos. And I'm definitely someone who's a generalist when it comes to design, but I enjoy it. And then when it comes to ChatGPT, like I do think that's really powerful for organizing certain things. Grammarly, I will use that for proofreading my newsletters each week. And I just think that there's so much technology, and I actually do enjoy using AI when it comes to being able to share more content and organize my thoughts and ideas. But I still think at the end of the day, it's important to make sure that things are in our own words. And that's what I love about, you know, being here and doing podcasts, is because it's not scripted. It's not generated by AI. It's just two real people talking. But I think if you're going to try to create content for social media and try to bullet point certain things that you want to discuss, I think AI is a really great time to be formulating your thoughts and starting to put it into more detail that way. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, I think, you know, Calendly for making sure that you schedule everything out and you don't miss anything. Because at this day and age, like most people don't really even need assistance. You can throw out your schedule, and I know there's still people who are like more old school, but it's really great to be able to use that to schedule things out. And even in person, like coffee dates, or even, you know, making sure I spend time with friends. I don't always use Calendly, but sometimes if we're really busy, I'm like, hey, just find something on my schedule and I'll make that like personal time because I have friends all over the world. So I think in terms of both business and personal life, that can be a great tool if you're always trying to look for a time to connect with people. So that's all I can think of for right now. But yeah, I love technology. And I think if you can automate, and Zapier is also another one that allows you to connect different tools if they're isn't a way to automate. So again, just we're living in like one of the best times to be able to create. It can also be a busy time to try to get through, because it's like, I think so loud, you know, and noisy online. So I think, yeah, if you can find a way to present yourself as a person, and I think video is going to be the thing that helps entrepreneurs the most moving forward. Because it's just really a way to cut through the noise.
Absolutely. Oh my God. So many tools there. I'm like, yes to all of them.
Like I could, oh my God, I probably have more. One thing I would say too, of what I use for like when I'm editing reels, when I'm editing different videos, is something called Splice, S-P-L-I-C-E. And it's a great editing tool. I really like that one. And you know, it's always, I think captions is just like a way that I will also edit like different TikToks and reels and things like that when I'm in creator mode. But there is something, there's an app for anything. So I definitely find them all and try to automate these things. Yeah.
I know. I got to come to you more often for that. Because I have a lot of apps, but there's some that I'm like, oh, wait, I haven't heard of that. But I agree. AI is
I will geek out on it all day. I'm like always finding something new. I'm like, oh, I like this. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. You're a wealth of knowledge. And it's just, too, it's there's so many different tools to use, but finding what works best for you. I think there is something for everybody. And it's just finding how to make your life easier, because that's what I think these tools are about too, especially when you're starting a business or like you have no idea what to do. It's as simple as things, getting a calendar, having the app, just understanding like editing videos, especially if you're planning on being on camera or anything like that, but finding ways around it to make life a lot easier, because there's a lot of things going on in the world. Yeah. But what advice do you have for aspiring entrepreneurs who are considering making the leap from pivoting from one business to another, or even corporate to another business or a business?
Yeah, great question. I would say it's about being both in the practical and the magical. Mm-hmm. I know that some people are like, oh, be realistic and, you know, really think about your runway and finances and all these things. And I agree, like you have to live in some level of reality, but I think there's always going to be a certain amount that people want to have in terms of security and safety with finances before they take the leap. And so people who are listening, they, in their mind, they may think they don't have enough to do that. And then there's other people that will believe that, like very wishful thinking, well, if I just go into this, I'll make $1 million in my first year, because I believe it and I am affirming it to the mirror every day. And, you know, so there can be like these two drastic ways of thinking, that are both unhelpful, you know, and both stop someone from actually taking that step forward, because they either throw themselves in that direction, or they really stop themselves and strategize and plan for way too long. So I think the most important thing is going back to that, how are you being versus just focusing on the doing? Like, are you emotionally ready for what could be a bit of a roller coaster? Do you have the support that's necessary? Because I think without that kind of support, whether it's friends, family, coach, you know, some kind of community, it could be lonely and it could be easy to quit. So I think definitely finding a way to be supported and be held accountable and have someone to go to on those days when you are in a lot of self-imposter syndrome mentality and doubt, and, you know, giving yourself time, because it's not going to be this overnight success, even though it seems like people are creating and building overnight using AI and, you know, build something from the ground up and then just suddenly like start generating all this revenue. I think at the end of the day, it does take time. Mm-hmm. So being in both the practical and the magical and understanding how to see both the vision and take action on it, having that support structure, but always asking yourself, like, what are you doing this for? Because it's so easy, I think, as entrepreneurs to create from a place of wounding and create from a place of trying to prove something. Mm-hmm. So give yourself time to really make sure you're in it for the right reasons, and that you can be patient for this to become a thing, and that you're willing also for it to evolve and change. So there's a lot there, but you know, that would be what I would tell an entrepreneur, because so many people are like, I have this amazing idea and I think I want to make this into a tech company. And when we start to pull back, it's like the business that they have right now is not stable and they don't really have the runway to put into this new thing or the time or the energy. And it's just a bit scattered. So, and I think the same thing with someone who's in a 9-to-5, sometimes they are, you know, they have like young kids or they have all these other things going on and it may not be the right time, because it would require them to go from 9-to-5 to 24/7. And so just, again, these realities that we have to look at, what am I willing to give up? And am I willing to go on this journey and let it become something that it's not about me, it's for the world, you know? It's like bringing a child into the world at the end of the day. I'm sure you've had the experience, but it's like, this is not for you. It's for the world. It's not about you. It's for the world. So it takes a lot of sacrifice, not in the way that we think, but sacrifice in the way of, you know, letting go of control and letting go of it being what we think it's supposed to be, while still creating, again, that stability, going back to the other conversation of, you know, making sure that you're taking time for yourself. So all of these things, it sounds like a lot. It sounds like for people who aren't entrepreneurs yet, it's like, well, it's like all these spinning plates. It's like, because it is, it's going to be. So that's why you need support. And I'm glad that you're creating this support, honestly, with your YouTube channel and going in and diving into these different discussions, because it gives people an idea of what they might expect and the different things that we don't maybe talk about, because we're so focused on, you know, numbers and business growth and the excitement of it and how people have taken failure and just blossomed into this amazing new thing, but not talked enough about this constant transition that you're always in when you're an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. And, you know, even that transition that you're talking about, it's like being practical, but living in a magical world and merging the two together, because that's what I feel like entrepreneurship is, or it truly is. You have to be practical, because if the numbers don't make sense, it's hard to continue doing certain things. You have to shift things, even if it's tweaking a tiny thing that could make it massive, or it could go the other way as well. But I think it is, you're living in these parallel worlds sometimes, and that transition of merging them together based off of where you're at in the present moment, it is really challenging. It isn't glamour as much. Like, there are moments that are like, yeah, this is great, but those are a little bit harder in between, especially in the beginning stages. Like the first 5 years are so challenging. I'm in year 6 and I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's still challenging, but I rather do this than anything else in the world. And like what you said too, it's in the beginning of bringing value to people and what you're doing and bringing value to your world and everybody that's in it as well every day when you show up and helping these business owners transition in the performance strategy that you really embody, but entail too for your clients and the people that you work with as well. But Emily, what are you working on? Let us know what you're up to and then also where people can find you.
So what I'm doing right now is I'm continuing to coach, support, mentor, and advise founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and working with this holistic aspect of high performance, as we talked about earlier in this episode. And I'm loving it. And it's also exciting to support founders as well who are in the pivoting stage or they're in the in-between stage as well. In terms of where to find me, I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and I also have a TikTok, not as super on it as much as I have been in the past, but you might see me on there more. And I'll be sharing more videos and more content. You can find more about me and what I do on my website. So it's iamemilyleahy.com. And I have more of my offerings there and more about what I do and my background, my bio is there as well. I also have a newsletter called Unleash Mental Edge, and it's all about how to manage your mental energy. And so like in the last letter, I had talked about these luxurious moments, especially for overthinkers and how do you get there, especially when you're building and you're constantly under all this stress. And like one before that was all about the performance equation. So these are letters that kind of are like Substack. I use Beehive, which is another amazing newsletter that was actually created by an amazing group of people who talk about entrepreneurship called The Morning Brew. And actually one of the founding members created this newsletter called Beehive, which I love. And so it's kind of like a Substack and you can find me there as well. And I do a lot of writing. So yeah, that's essentially what I've got going on these days.
Amazing. And I'm so excited for what's coming. And I know there's so many things brewing for you as well. So definitely follow along. But thank you so much, Emily, for coming on, just sharing your beautiful energy with us and being so transparent of your journey, the ups, downs, but mostly the transitions and pivots that a lot of us go through, but I don't feel is talked about enough. So I'm so glad that you were coming on today to share all of your wisdom and your experiences with us.
Thanks so much. It was fun to catch up with you.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Emily today? I'm sure she would love to see that comment, and we'll see you on the next episode.